Standing in line to see the show tonight, and there's a light on, heavy glow. By the way, I tried to say I'd be there, waiting for.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Survive to Thrive, the podcast where we dive deep into the stories of career professionals. I'm your host, Max Mandel, and I'm thrilled to be your guide on this journey of inspiration and success. On today's episode, we have an incredible guest with a unique story, and he's going to talk about his professional journey, and we'll be exploring his challenges that he faced and the lessons that he has learned and the pivotal moments that propelled him from surviving and thriving in his career today. Whether you're a seasoned professional, a budding entrepreneur, or someone navigating the early stages of your career, this podcast is designed to provide insights, motivation, and actionable advice to help you reach new heights in your professional life. So buckle up and get ready for a roller coaster that will inspire, empower, and motivate you. Without further ado, let's jump into another episode of Survive to Thrive. I'm Max Mandel, and this podcast is where success takes a spotlight. Enjoy. Welcome on, Jacob. Thank you for
coming on. Thank you so much, Max. Thank you for having me.
Of course. This is our first episode of Survive to Thrive, and I wanted to ask you a few questions on your career. I appreciate you taking the time. So my first question for you, Jacob, was what inspired you to pursue a career in medicine, and specifically in the field of oncology?
Yeah, I was attracted during my undergraduate days to both the biological and the social sciences. And as I went on as an undergrad, it seemed to me that medicine was a really good fit. I was a history major, and but also really enjoyed the biological sciences, biology, chemistry, physics, and just found a good intersection there in the pursuit of a career in medicine. So you know, that took me through medical school, and it wasn't until later on in my career that I realized I wanted to do oncology, and there things were even a little bit more personal. As I finished up my training, my training in internal medicine, I was a bit undifferentiated in terms of my career direction. Around that time, my grandfather, who I was extremely close to on my dad's side, my grandfather, Arthur, developed a blood cancer called chronic lymphocytic leukemia. And that really inspired me to pursue a career in oncology, and specifically in the study of what we call hematologic or blood cancers.
Thank you. Yeah. And can you share like a memorable experience from your time at Duke, you know, Duke in general, that influenced you to, you know, approach medicine? Like, what was your turning point that, you know, really allowed you to, you know, say to yourself, well, why I want to pursue this career? Was there something at Duke when you learned, or a professor that, you know, was a mentor for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually went to Swarthmore College for undergraduate, and that's where I decided to do medicine. Swarthmore was a wonderful place to get sort of a broad education, and did a lot of learning there. I'd say that probably the most influential instructor that I had there was my biology professor, whose name was Robert Savage. He had been at the college for many, many years, and he just had, you know, pure delight in teaching students about biology. But he was also a supremely humanistic person. And I saw in him a lot of the qualities that I wanted to put into action, you know, as I studied science, as I learned about people and, you know, tried to help people. So he was really an early mentor. And then, you know, certainly when I arrived at Duke in 1995 and began the study of medicine, had a number of, you know, just incredible mentors there as well, who are quite inspiring to me. A couple that come to mind are my residency program director, Ralph Corey, who was an infectious disease expert, Paul Killenberg, who was a gastroenterologist, and Dan Sexton, who was likewise an infectious disease specialist. Diana McNeil was an amazing endocrinologist. And Barton Haynes was our chairman of medicine and double boarded in both rheumatology and infectious disease. All these folks were just, you know, giants to me in my training, and gained a lot just from observing them and learning from them.
You know, I know you said
surviving to thriving, you know the importance of taking care of yourself. And that includes the little things. I'm talking about the daily rituals that make you feel refreshed and ready to conquer the day. That's why I want to introduce to you our awesome sponsor, Dr. Squatch Soap. Dr. Squatch is not just soap, it's an experience. If you're tired of using the same generic soap that leaves you feeling, well, a little meh, it's time to level up your shower game. Dr. Squatch is all about natural, handcrafted soap that's made for men who strive to be their best. With scents like pine tar, cedar citrus, and cool fresh aloe, you'll transform your shower into a daily escape that invigorates your senses. And here's the kicker. Our listeners get an exclusive offer. Use the code SURVIVETOTHRIVE at checkout for 15% off your order. That's right, 15% off. Just go to drsquatch.com, that's drsquatch.com, and revolutionize your shower routine. Dr. Squatch, because a great day starts with a great shower. Don't forget to use the code SURVIVETOTHRIVE for 15% off. Elevate your shower experience with Dr. Squatch soap and let the transformation from survive to thrive begin.
Get some, you know, really good coaching from the pre-medical sciences advisor to make that happen. You know, obviously wanted to make sure that I had a strong foundation in the sciences. And then as I arrived at Duke to start medical school, you know, the first year was really a didactic year, a lot of classroom learning. And one of the neat things at Duke is in the medical school program, they got a very unique curriculum where second year medical students are really, you know, exposed to clinical medicine for the first time. And it's a really intensive year on the wards. I started out in anesthesiology and surgery. So September of 1996. And it was just off to the races after that, you know, covered all the major disciplines in medicine from surgery, psychiatry, internal medicine, pediatrics, family medicine, and OBGYN, all in that year. It's a really special year at Duke. And then in the third year, we have the opportunity there to do a year of independent study. And coming out of undergrad, I had a history major. I was really interested in the social sciences, and I was able to do a master's degree that year in public policy, and wrote a healthcare focused master's paper with Joe Lipscomb that year. It was a wonderful experience. And then, you know, by the end of my third year in medical school, I had decided I wanted to do internal medicine as a residency. And I just felt like there was no better place to do it than at Duke. So I stayed on for my residency after completing med school in 1999.
Further in your career, right, what is something, what makes you, whether it be meeting with a patient, right? I know you can't, talk about specific patients, but is there a certain like patient that like after, you know, you're saving, you know, saving lives every day and you do remarkable work. And is there a patient or a story that's kind of like warms your heart? You're like, wow, like I really love what I do and I'm really helping people. And this is, I'm really glad I'm pursuing this and I can help out people every day with, this horrible, disease is cancer as it is, you know?
Yeah. You know, I think I certainly do have, honestly, I got to say, Max, every single patient that walks through the door to see me, I really feel like I owe it to them to just give it my all. And I know you and I, you know, both love sports, mm-hmm. and there are some really important, analogies that I've picked up from observing, you know, successful athletes over the years. One of my favorite coaches was Coach K at Duke. And, you know, he talked about players in his program. And I think of any number of them looking back over the years that I was there and I was able to follow the basketball team as I was going through my studies. He talked about how important it is to bring your best every day. And players in his program, I think Shane Battier was one of them, just brought his very best every day. And that's kind of inspiring to me. I want to do the same thing for every single patient that comes through the door, because even if that patient is not terribly sick, that patient doesn't have too much going on, I've got to ensure that I'm making the most of that 20 or 30 minutes that I have with them, and that they're really getting something positive out of that visit. Just yesterday, I had a patient who came in feeling extremely discouraged. She wasn't terribly sick. You know, she's actually doing really well from the standpoint of her disease. And I spent the majority of the visit just connecting with her on a personal level, trying to encourage her to help her find meaning where she was lacking that sense of meaning. And, you know, it was much more about her psychosocial situation and her current emotional state than it was about solving a medical mystery. So, you know, the crucial thing for me is to find out within, you know, a short period of time after that patient enters the room, what do they need today? And to make sure that they come away from that visit with something, you know, really positive.
Hey there, Thrivers. We're all on a journey from surviving to thriving. And one key aspect of that journey is taking care of our bodies and minds. That's why I'm excited to tell you about our incredible sponsor, Lifetime Fitness. Lifetime Fitness isn't just a gym. It's a lifestyle. Picture this: state-of-the-art facilities, expert trainers, and a community that's all about supporting each other's journey to greatness. Whether you're a fitness fanatic or just getting started, Lifetime Fitness has everything you need to take your wellness to the next level. From cutting-edge workout equipment to a wide range of fitness classes, they've got it all. And here's the best part. It's not just about the physical. Lifetime Fitness is committed to your holistic well-being, offering programs and amenities that nurture both body and mind. Now, here's an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Sign up for a Lifetime Fitness membership using this code, SURVIVETOTHRIVE, and you'll get your first month absolutely free. Yes, you heard that right. Your first month on the house. Visit LifetimeFitness.com. That's LifetimeFitness.com and start your journey to thriving today. Don't forget to use the code SURVIVETOTHRIVE for that sweet first free month. Lifetime Fitness, where your journey from survive to thrive begins. Embrace the transformation. Head to LifetimeFitness.com and use the code SURVIVETOTHRIVE for your free month. Because when you're at your best physically, you're ready to conquer anything. Thank you.
Their follow-up kind of question in terms of like, how has the COVID pandemic, right, impacted your work and the care provided to the patients in hematologic
hematologic malignancies? Yeah, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
The pandemic, I think really did change the practice of medicine. I mean, obviously we're kind of emerging out of the pandemic, but you know, the practice of medicine has changed a bit. I think that, among other things, communication with patients during the COVID pandemic became that much more important, because our entire field was learning about COVID on the fly, developing approaches to managing the pandemic operationally and in terms of the medical management of it, with new antiviral treatments, vaccines, and the things that were implemented to deal with the disease. And it really required a tremendous amount of communication with patients. And I think that changed our practice a bit. It changed, I think, patients' perspectives on the care that they receive. And, you know, one of the things that I am so grateful for in working with the team I work with at Dana-Farber is just how it solidified, and if anything, even improved, the way that we communicate with our patients. That was essential to make sure that we were appropriately staffed. We had the right people managing communication with patients. And we really, really felt supported at the Institute by the leadership of the Institute, from the CEO, president, to the chief medical officer, on down. And it really made a difference. I think, if anything, I point to that as something that really positive that came out of the pandemic.
Thank you. Is there another, you know, question I had? How do you balance the use of traditional treatments like chemotherapy and emerging targeted therapies in the context of like multiple myeloma?
Myeloma. Yeah.
Yeah.
balance them with more conventional ones, or conventional. So question more conventional ones and some of the emerging ones?
Yeah.
That's a fascinating question, Max. I entered the field as an attending physician in 2008, and I had begun my medical training 15 years before that, or 13 years before that. And I really feel fortunate to have come into this field at a time when our understanding of the biology of multiple myeloma and other cancers across the board, other blood cancers, other non-blood cancers, has improved to the point where, you know, we can really effectively translate what we're learning about these diseases, their pathophysiology, their pathobiology, and how we can develop effective treatments for them. And we started to see initial examples of this in the early 2000s, and the pace of progress has never slowed, thanks to the efforts of so many people across really the spectrum of medicine, including the patients themselves, who are willing to participate in clinical trials that help us move the field forward, to centers like Dana-Farber, where a lot of research is being done, to our colleagues in the community, where a lot of clinical care gets done, to pharmaceutical companies, regulatory agencies, most notably the FDA, and patient advocacy groups. You know, they've just all been aligned over the last two decades in the field of oncology to making efforts to improve outcomes for patients. And the pace of that progress has, if anything, accelerated in recent years. And as you alluded to, we've seen just incredible leaps forward in terms of what we can offer patients with some of these novel immune treatments in our field. Those are the chimeric antigen receptor T-cell therapy, or CAR-T, and the T-cell engaging bispecific antibody treatments, which are, showing really unprecedented results in our patients.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you guys do tremendous work, and there's no doubt about that, and adding up, and it's a heavy role to take on, but you're making strides and finding solutions to, help defeat this, infectious disease cancer. Someone that has gone through the experience of that practice under their belt and has the knowledge, it's important, as when you're in your studies in school, to find a mentor that has been through it all. To pick their brain as much as you can, and others to find a mentor, even in your internship experiences, which I found in any field. And thank you for sharing. I had this episode on, and thank you for coming on. Kind of like a segment we have, like, why Boston? Why is Boston? Why do you believe you kind of end up here in Boston? And what do you love about Boston?
Yeah, I mean, I was a Midwesterner. I grew up, as I mentioned before, in a small town in Wisconsin. But I've been on the East Coast since 1989, did all of my education and my professional life here. There will always be a piece of Wisconsin in my heart. I love going back to the Midwest, but my wife and my family, my children, we all feel really comfortable here. I love New England. I think the people are wonderful. People are motivated, and you see that in so many different sectors of the professional world, the academic world in Boston, and it's exciting to be part of. And of course, it's a great place to raise children. Very strong, all sorts of opportunities for the kids, and arts and music and athletics extracurricularly, and we've just thoroughly enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. Well, for future professionals that want to pursue in the medical field, what is some advice you have for incoming doctors of any field, or even specifically in the field that you're in cancer research?
Yeah. For me personally, as a clinical person, I would say to somebody who's pursuing a career in clinical medicine, hold on to the original inspiration that you had that led you into a career in medicine. Again, I'm speaking to somebody who's interested in clinical medicine. I have friends that, went to medical school and have done amazing things outside of medicine, investment banking, formed their own companies, became entrepreneurs, and they would probably give a different advice to an incoming medical student who perhaps has a different career trajectory, all of which are incredible opportunities. But if I was speaking to somebody who's pursuing a career path like mine, you know, gather up as much knowledge, information as you can. The field is changing so fast, and just the pursuit of knowledge in and of itself is so satisfying, and being around people who are motivated and really interested in doing that. But the human side of medicine is so incredibly special. And to know that each and every day you're helping somebody out, and that sometime in all of our life, we're going to need to be on the receiving end of that. And just keeping in mind, you know, you want to deliver care in the same way you'd want to receive it, you know, in a very compassionate way, holistic way that really tries to understand what makes that person tick and what they need.
Thank you so much, Jake, for coming on the show. It was a pleasure to have you as the first guest of my podcast, Survive to Thrive. And I really appreciate you coming on the show today. And thank you for taking the time.
It was an honor, Max. I didn't know I was the first one, but that's quite an honor. I wish you all the best.
And that brings us to the end of another empowering episode of Survive to Thrive. We hope today's stories and insights have left you feeling motivated and ready to conquer any challenges that come your way. Remember, resilience is not just about the weathering the storm. It's about learning to dance in the rain. We hope you've gained valuable tools and perspectives to turn adversity into strength. If you enjoyed today's episode and want to continue this journey of growth and transformation with us, hit that subscribe button. We've got some incredible guests and topics lined up for the future episodes that you won't want to miss. Connect with us on social media. We love hearing your stories and experiences. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Survive to Thrive. And if you're finding value in Survive to Thrive, please take a moment to leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback not only encourages us, but helps us reach more listeners who are on their own journey from survival to thriving. As we close today's chapter, remember, you have the power to turn every challenge into an opportunity. Keep pushing forward, keep growing, and keep thriving. Until next time, stay resilient, stay inspired, and keep thriving. This is Survive to Thrive, signing off.